with a special edition of What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. The midterms have resulted in a split Congress, with Democrats taking control of the House. House Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi celebrated the win shortly before midnight.
Thanks to you, tomorrow will be a new day in America. Remember this feeling. Know the power to win.
Joining us now from Washington with election results is Wall Street Journal reporter Natalie Andrews. Natalie, winning the House is a big victory for Democrats after 8 years of Republican control. There's a lot for Democrats to celebrate here, but at the same time, we now have a split Congress with Republicans maintaining control of the Senate. And many Democrats were expecting a larger blue wave to sweep the nation in the midterms.
Yes, we saw more of a, well, Nancy Pelosi herself refers to it as droplets across the nation. So we saw, if it's more like a swell, and there were a lot of close races around the country. It appears that some of those just didn't quite swing Democrats' way. They certainly tightened up areas that in the past had been held by Republicans for years, but didn't quite make it. But they did make it enough to get to the majority. And now we'll see Democrats in the House have to work with Republicans in the Senate to pass legislation that ends up on President Trump's desk. It will be an interesting trick to see how they do spending bills and what kind of legislation they can agree on.
And what do the results say insofar as this election being a referendum on President Trump? We still have a divided Congress and a very divided electorate.
In Trump country, in the Senate, we saw Republicans pick up more seats. So in areas like North Dakota and Missouri, where Donald Trump won those states by double digits, we now have Republican senators coming in and the Democrats lost there. But in suburban America, in districts that Hillary Clinton won in 2016, we're now seeing Democrats pick up those seats. So Democrats didn't take a wave of a lot of areas that Donald Trump won in 2016. They more picked up areas that Hillary Clinton won, or think places that were narrow.
Let's take a look at some other races. Some history has also been made with the election of two Muslim women, Rashida Tlaib of Michigan and Ilhan Omar of Minnesota, elected to the House. This is a first for Congress.
Yeah, it's going to be a first for Congress in quite a few ways. These two Muslim American women both have really unique, compelling stories. They're both going to be voices on immigration, on refugee issues, on things that really matter in our country right now, policy issues that are being addressed. We're also seeing a record-breaking number of women that will be in the next Congress. We're going to see a record-breaking number of people of color. We don't have those stats quite developed yet, but we're going to see a Congress that looks much different than the Congress that we even have now.
And turning to one of the big upsets for Democrats, Representative Beto O'Rourke failed to beat incumbent Republican Ted Cruz in the state of Texas.
You know, Beto O'Rourke's race was always a long shot. He was able to make it closer than Democrat had come in the past. While votes are still being counted, he's already conceded. But it's interesting to see the ability he was to pull in Texas. If he had made Texas blue, it would have changed how we would have looked at the 2020 presidential race. It would have just upset everything. So Mr. O'Rourke coming close is significant, but yeah, it was a loss for Democrats who really saw energy in Beto. We saw Beto t-shirts in New York and D.C. He had a lot of energy. He raised a lot of money. But at the end, Texas is still a Republican state.
Natalie, there were also several governor's seats that Democrats were hoping to win. They had some success doing that in the Midwest, but there was also disappointment in Florida, where Republican Ron DeSantis defeated Democrat Andrew Gillum, and in Georgia, where Stacey Abrams isn't conceding to Republican Brian Kemp.
Yes, we will have Democratic senators in Illinois, in Kansas, in Colorado. These are new states that Democrats are going to be really excited about having Democratic senators in. In Florida, Democrats are disappointed that Andrew Gillum could not win the gubernatorial race. He came close, but Florida is a swing state. There's a lot of energy around the Senate race this year. And there was some question whether Andrew Gillum could appeal enough to moderates in the state in order to win. We'll have to look at exit polling to see where the split was. In Georgia, Stacey Abrams is not conceding. She's saying the race is still too close to call. Her campaign manager says that there's absentee ballots that could be Abrams voters in a few counties that could make up the difference. And so we'll be watching for results there in the next day or so.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Natalie Andrews joining us from Washington to talk about the midterms. Natalie, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Now let's talk a little bit more about that split Congress. Should we prepare for more gridlock? I'm joined now by Wall Street Journal reporter Shelby Holliday with more on what's next. Shelby, this election has made clear how divided the nation is. Let's start with the issues where Democrats and Republicans may be able to find some common ground.
So there are actually a few issues. One is infrastructure spending. Both the president and Democrats have signaled they want to upgrade the nation's infrastructure. And there's a debate about how to fund infrastructure projects and how much money should be spent. But overall, they've both said that's an area where they could come together. Another one is trade. The president has slapped tariffs on adversaries and allies alike. Republicans have sought to rein him in, but Democrats have largely signaled that they support his agenda. They're okay with this strategy. And then the last area is drug prices and health care. Both Democrats and President Trump have made it a big deal to drive down drug prices, especially when it comes to Medicare costs. And leading up to the midterms, President Trump and Republicans said they do want to protect people with pre-existing conditions. That's obviously a priority of Democrats who support Obamacare. And so if that's the case, they could really come together and shore up those protections for people with pre-existing conditions.
But healthcare is also one of those more divisive issues where when you get into the nuts and bolts there are a lot of disagreements. There are also plenty of other divisive issues. Immigration comes to mind, where Democrats and Republicans are pretty far apart.
That's true. So on healthcare, there's this giant question of how much the two sides really could come together because President Trump and Republicans want to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. That's Obamacare. And Democrats want to strengthen it. So there are questions about how much they could really come together because their priorities aren't really aligned in the overall healthcare picture. Immigration is another one. And Democrats successfully pushed back against funding President Trump's border wall and giving him some of the wins he wanted on immigration. And so they have not signaled that they'd be willing to give him any of those things. And in fact, it might be tougher for Trump to get what he wants on immigration now that Democrats control the House.
And just to take a brief look outside of policy issues, there's, of course, Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation into possible collusion with Russia. That could sort of throw a wrench into efforts to find common ground between the parties.
Absolutely. There were some questions about whether or not President Trump would try to fire Rod Rosenstein, who oversees the Russia investigation and oversees Mueller. Now that Democrats have won the House, that looks very unlikely. And in fact, with Democrats controlling the House and having subpoena power, they may ramp up investigations of everything from Russian interference to administration ethics scandals, the president's finances. They could try to get their hands on his tax returns. And if they do that, if they ramp up these investigations, a lot of people say this is just going to be a whole lot of gridlock, a whole lot of fighting. Get ready for a pretty ugly next 2 years.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Shelby Holliday joining us in our studio. Thank you so much, Shelby.
Thank you.
You're listening to a special edition of What's News from the Wall Street Journal. Coming up, more details on an historic election. This election was historic in several ways. Highest voter turnout in decades in a non-presidential election in a deeply polarized nation, with both parties spending a record amount of money campaigning. Joining us now via Skype from Los Angeles with a look at how we got here is Wall Street Journal reporter Byron Tao. Byron, this election was the most expensive midterm election in history. Where did Democrats and Republicans spend the most money ahead of Tuesday's midterms?
Well, we've seen hundreds of millions of dollars pour into some of the most competitive Senate races. So that includes Florida, where there was a contest between the current Republican governor of Florida, Rick Scott, and the incumbent Democratic Senator Bill Nelson. That race cost more than $180 million. Another $100 million was spent in the Missouri Senate race, where Claire McCaskill was running against a Republican named Josh Hawley. So these races are some of the most expensive we've ever seen, with Democrats actually having a financial advantage in a lot of it, but also a lot of money went to the House. Millions of dollars pouring into House races around the country. Many of those donors were Democrats, small dollar donor Democrats, hoping to help their party win back control of the House.
And it's fair to say both Democrats and Republicans went into this election extremely energized. But how does the turnout that we saw this year compare to even other recent midterm elections?
So we won't know the official turnout numbers for a couple of weeks while states certify and finish the final counts. But early voting numbers show that probably 10 million more voters voted early in this cycle compared to 2014, which was the last midterm election. And experts suggest that the turnout could easily surpass 100 million votes, which is not normal for a midterm election campaign and significantly higher than the 2014 one. We won't probably see turnout as high as 2016, but that's pretty normal for a midterm campaign versus a presidential campaign.
But what was different in this election? The nation remains divided on so many issues, immigration, healthcare, you name it. What issues really drove voters to the polls this year?
Well, what's interesting is that the economy is pretty good and is generally the biggest marker of voter satisfaction. But what we've seen in the exit polls suggests that healthcare and immigration were two of the top issues that drove voters to come out. And beyond that, President Trump himself was a big draw for voters on both sides, with many Democrats showing up at the polls to register their disapproval and many Republicans showing up at the polls to register their approval. Even though he's not on the ballot, he looms large over this race. And that's something that was borne out in exit polls across the country. And so that's what's so interesting about this cycle is that, generally speaking, despite a booming economy, many of the voters expressed some dissatisfaction with the direction of the country and expressed dissatisfaction on issues like healthcare and immigration.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Byron Tao joining us via Skype from Los Angeles. Thank you so much, Byron.
Thanks for having me.
And this has been a special edition of What's News. For complete coverage of the midterms and all of the latest updates, head to WSJ.com or the WSJ app. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York for The Wall Street Journal.
Enjoy the What's News podcast? Then try the What's News newsletter. Sign up at WSJ.com/newsletters. That's WSJ.com/newsletters.